the event collects money so that Wayne can help people who can't pay their heating bill during the wintertime. It begins with an interfaith prayer service. This year it will be held outdoors, so we're safe and sound in Joseph Square in Golden Mansion. Immediately following the prayer service, we will have a route to walk, and then by doing the walk, we're all together, and it's our way to raise money to help people in the community. Again, we need help with paying for heating during the wintertime. But since we're all trying to stay safe and sound during the pandemic, we have the option, if you want to participate, by doing a virtual walk. So you sign onto the website, you go out and walk anytime, any place that you want. You maybe take a picture or two and give it to Wayne. They put it up on their Facebook page and their website so people know how many people participated. And then that way you also get to take part in the event as well. So this is happening next Sunday, so I hope you can join us. If you can't join us, I hope you get onto the website for the Walk for Warmth. We have a fund for St. Mark's that we're raising money. Just click on that and donate if you'd like. Tell your friends and family. And let's do the most good that we can with our community. I'm very grateful to Charlie and Angela, who always give us wonderful music every week. We're going to have two announcements about music. One, we hope next week to start having a lyric sheet put into the bulletin. We're all meditating to music. Sometimes you can't pick up on every single word. And the words are beautiful and meaningful and always selected for that particular Sunday. So we want everyone to be able to follow along and meditate with the music and have a sense of what we're singing about as we do it. So we plan next week to start having an insert and bulletin with the lyrics so we can follow along. But the other thing to keep in mind, please, is that Charlie and I are trying to be intentional about selecting music that we might otherwise not always sing. Sometimes singing a new hymn on Sunday isn't the easiest thing to do. We have an incredible opportunity right now, since we're meditating to the music, to select things that maybe we haven't tried on before. And what we're hoping is that people might say, oh, I haven't heard that song, and it was wonderful. I would love to do it sometime, of course, when we're back together and we're all singing again. Please, if you hear a song that you haven't come across before, and you think it's a great song, and you'd love us to sing that hymn in church, let us know in the office. We'll take note of it. We're glad that we can expose people to new music during this time and kind of make the most out of it. And we hope that when we're all back together singing in church again, we'll have an expanded repertoire of music that we all love to sing. Our opening hymn this morning is in 484.
Thank you.
God's Spirit, and those who worship must worship in spirit and in truth. Let us confess our sins to God. God of all mercy,
we confess that we have sinned against you, opposing your will in our lives.
We have denied your goodness in each other, in ourselves, and in the world you have created.
We repent of the evil that enslaves us, the evil we have done, and the evil done on our behalf.
Forgive, restore, and strengthen us.
Through our Savior Jesus Christ,
that we may abide in your love and serve only your will.
Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins, through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Lord, open our lips.
And our mouths shall proclaim your praise.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Together.
Hallelujah.
Christ our Passover has been sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast.
Not with the old leaven,
the leaven of malice and evil,
but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth.
Hallelujah.
Christ being raised from the dead will never die again.
Death no longer has dominion over.
The death that he died to sin once for all.
But the life he lives to God.
So also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ our Lord.
Hallelujah.
Christ has been raised from dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep.
For since by a man came death,
by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead.
For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive.
Hallelujah.
He has consecrated his guests. At that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the people who rest complacently on their beds. Those who say in their hearts, "Joel, I will not do good, nor will we do harm." For their wealth shall be plundered, and their houses laid waste. Though they build houses, they shall not inhabit them. Though they plant vineyards, they shall not drink wine from them. The great day of the Lord is near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The glory of Christ is out there. That day will be a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet blasts and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements. I will bring such distress upon the people that they will walk like a lion, because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like dung. Neither the silver nor their gold will be able to save them on the day of the Lord's wrath. In the fire of his passion, the whole earth shall be consumed. For a full but terrible end, he will make of all the inhabitants of the earth. Here ends the reading. Please read together Canticle 11.
Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord has dawned upon you. For behold, darkness covers the land, deep gloom enshrouds the peoples. But over you the Lord will rise, and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will scream to your light, and kings the brightness of your dawn. Your gates will always be open. By day or night they will never be shut. They will call you the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Violence will no longer be heard in that land. Ruin and destruction will be your borders. You will call your walls their salvation, and all your borders praise. The sun will no more be your light by day. By night you will not be the bright light of the moon. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Reading from Matthew. Jesus said, "It is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy for a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trusty slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had received 1 talent also came forward, saying, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours." But his master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave. You knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow, and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return you would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 and they will have an abundance. For from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be a weeping and gnashing of teeth. Here ends the reading.
When the two double the money, give over the proceeds, You may have heard this invitation to enter into the joy of their master. Enter into the joy. So if you're entering into something, this presupposes the master's disposition to be joyful. So the master is generous, the master is trusting, and the master is joyful. But what we see in last thing is that this last thing seems to be focused on fear instead of focusing on the joy. He focuses on these rumors of a vindictive master, whereas the others we focus on the gifts, the faith, the joy. The third servant lives in fear of God and operates on fear, and is therefore only able to return what was given. Which brings us around to what this might mean for all of us. So there seems to be a clear line drawn in the parable between operating on fear and operating on faith. The faithful are rewarded, but the third operates on fear and loses out. Now we can think of the master as harsh for casting him out. It's not a nice ending to any story, is it? But I think we also have to appreciate the limitations of the narrative. Reading the story, it's an analogy. If we're considering how the kingdom of God operates, which is what all these parables are inviting us to do, then in a sense, hasn't that last slave just cast himself out? He was given good things freely, out of generosity and trust. So it seems that he chose to operate on fear instead of faith. And so, he loses out on the joy. So we might consider, how many of us operate on fear? Fear of the world, fear of God. And what are the consequences for our lives and this world when we operate on fear rather than on faith? And of course, what are the benefits of operating on faith rather than on fear? If we want to go straight at it, let's go after the topic that Jesus goes after. A topic that really gets to the point and is being used in the parable: money. So I've heard some say lately that billionaires shouldn't exist, not as people, but as billionaires. I happen to agree with this sentiment. I agree with it as one who regularly, prayerfully considers the gospel. Like today's reading, we see over and over again that we are encouraged to use money in a holy manner, remembering that all things come from God, and of God's own have we given in return. If we were having Eucharist today, we brought up a plate, I like to make it a custom that I got all the way back from when I was a child. Hold up the plate. What do I say? All things come of thee, O Lord, and then?
And of thine own.
And of thine own have we given. Exactly. We say it every Sunday when we have Holy Communion. To accumulate wealth is probably, more than likely, to live in fear, not in generosity. What are the consequences? What are the consequences when we only accumulate wealth? Sadly, we also see the same thing happening in churches, not just in society. Rather than living into our call as disciples of Christ to surrender ourselves to God, we timidly give portions of ourselves, never fully trusted in God's love and kindness. I am guilty of this, at least as anyone else. It seems sadly to be part of the human condition Christian or not. Like billionaires and one slave who give his money, we give sparingly instead of generously because we feel we need to hold on to our money. Instead of imitating the master in the parable and living generously, we so often hold on to what was never ours in the first place. Is this fear or is this faith? So, you know, being wise with finances is actually a biblical principle. It says in many places in the Bible, for example, we are supposed to be wise with our finances. Don't just throw it all away. God does not want us to be foolish. The word wise is mentioned a couple of times in our meetings today. But to use all that we have to God's glory is not foolish. I would argue it is the greatest wisdom that there is. In referring to tithing, which is giving 10% of our income to God, John H. McNaughton, in his book, More Blessed to Give, which is in our library downstairs, by the way, if you want to grab a copy, he says this: tithing is seldom mentioned in the New Testament because in Jesus' mind, it was simply assumed as normal and expected. It was so obvious a standard that it was beyond discussion. In effect, what Jesus says is this: tithe? Of course we tithe. We don't need to discuss it. But having done it, don't think you have done it all. Tithing is only the beginning. Do it. Now let's get on with the weightier stuff. Living your life in justice, mercy, and faith. In other words, Jesus has a standard beyond what the law has said. We see this earlier in Matthew's Gospel, right? The Sermon on the Mount, where he says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Love our enemies. Christians have agreed to live by quite a standard. Even in the way we manage our finances. So I would say this is a very courageous way to live. It's a faithful way to live. And it leads to a world full of mercy and justice. In the holy use of money, Jesuit priest Father John C. Hoey says, Jesus can be found in and would preside over all human concerns, for he is Lord. Our concerns concern him. In him, we learn to handle them. Through believers, he begins to subject them and the social systems to which they are linked to himself. Through the Spirit, we learn to name these concerns in terms of him. They begin to lose their self-assertiveness, their autonomy, their potential for making exaggerated claims on our attention and diffusing our loyalty. So next week, we're supposed to celebrate Christ the King. We will wonder very specifically about where our loyalties truly lie. In the way we handle our personal finances and allow our economy to be structured, are we making Christ the King? In the parable of the slave of the least who's thrown into the outer darkness, who really has thrown himself into this abyss, has not made Christ the King. He has allowed himself to be a slave of the human economy instead of God's economy, which is limitless, generous, and kind. But the ones who enter into the joy have courageously lived by faith, imitating the master. They have been generous and kind. It's no small thing to surrender oneself to God, to the God who lovingly created us, called us into being. It seems like it makes no sense, and in a lot of ways it really doesn't. It is, after all, a spiritual matter. But the spiritual journey can be summed up in just this: surrendering ourselves to the love of God. We spend our entire lives trying to get out of our own way in order to fully experience the love of God. In order to experience entering into the joy of a generous God. Perhaps it's time to take that leap of faith and move past whatever is holding us back. Perhaps today is the day we consider what is necessary to create a world of mercy and justice. Perhaps today is the day we take that leap of faith and enter into the joy of God's kingdom. Amen.
God, nor the hope of the world were taken away.
Create us clean hearts, O God,
and sustain us with your Holy Spirit.
We pray especially this day for those who are sick or suffering, Korea, Zoma, Madeline, Clint, Peter, Kevin, Kerry, Rich, Janet, Nancy, Frank, George, Carolyn, Mary, Steve, and all whom we mention now either silently or aloud. We commend you all who have died, especially all whom we mention now, either silently or aloud. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
O God, you make us glad with the weekly remembrance of the glorious resurrection of your Son, our Lord. Give us this day such blessing through our worship of you, that the week to come may be spent in your favor. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we pray, give us such a merit of mercies, that with truly thankful hearts, we may show forth your praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service, and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness of all our days. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory throughout all ages. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all.